Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 61 and 62. But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, dear fellow redeemed. Who is Jesus? Last Sunday we mentioned in our sermon that there are many who say they know Jesus and talk about Jesus, but they miss the cross of Jesus. And if you miss his cross, then you really don't know who Jesus is. Many portray Jesus as a kind, gentle teacher of love. Others portray him as a radical rabbi who loved the poor, but distrusted and despised the establishment. Others portray him as a martyr for a great cause. Look around the world today, and you'll see many, many opinions and answers to this question, who is Jesus? And most of them are wrong. Even during Jesus' day, the answer to that question was on the hearts and minds of people. Who is Jesus? One day he went to Jerusalem, was there for the festival of dedication, and the Jews came to him and asked him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Well, in our text this morning, while Jesus is standing before the high priest, bound and arrested, the high priest asks the same question. Who is this Jesus? But he asks in this way. He says, "Are you the Christ? Are you the promised Messiah?" And here Jesus answers boldly and very clearly that "I am." He was not afraid to tell people who he was. He was not shy about telling people the reason why he came. Remember last Sunday we heard that his message and his person was not a secret. But what Jesus said before the high priest in answering that question also directed the high priest and those around him into the distant future, to the very last day, to Judgment Day. So this morning, as we see the cross, we see both what Jesus was doing and what Jesus would do. So our theme this morning, see his cross. It's God's plan from the beginning to the end. And our first thought, God sent his Son according to his plan. The question the high priest asked Jesus was very, very simple. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, or Blessed One? The chief priest knew the Old Testament. He knew the prophecies of the Scriptures, that a Messiah was to come. And by using the word Christ, he very clearly shows, indicates that he knew God had anointed, that's what it means, anointed one person to come to set his people free. Every Jew is waiting for the Messiah. In fact, today, the Jews who do not believe Jesus is the Messiah are still looking for a Messiah who is to come to save them. Well, this ancient priest phrased this question, knowing the prophecies, in such a way that Jesus could not avoid the implication and the significance of this question. Because up until this time, Jesus had said nothing to all their questions, to all their charges, to all their inquiries, to all their accusations. He stood there with calm, dignified silence. There was no reason for him to answer. In fact, his silence spoke louder than even words. They were throwing false charges at him. And when people are paid to lie and witness against Jesus, they could even agree. What reason was there for a defense? But since Jesus did not answer any questions, and since none of these false charges the people threw at Jesus could stick, the high priest had to give up their plan to accuse Jesus of something from false witnesses. And so he came up with this bold plan to go to the very heart of the matter, to ask Jesus and put him under oath and ask him, "Are you the Christ?" And so he says, "I charge you, I adjure you, in the name of the living God, are you the Christ?" The oath was the last resort. The high priest was demanding that Jesus stand before God and with God as his witness, answer that question. Because that was the main reason why the Jewish leaders despised Jesus, because he was going around saying he was the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. In addition, the high priest also added this too. Are you the Son of the Blessed? By saying Son of the Blessed, they meant Son of Jehovah. They did not use the name Jehovah. It was too reverent for that. And so he said, are you the Son of God? And if you say you're the Son of God, the Son of Jehovah, then you make yourself out to be God. Now, Caiaphas, pretty proud of himself, thought he's got Jesus now. If Jesus, in fear of death, says, no, I'm not the Christ, I'm not the Son of the Blessed One, well, then the people would be disgraced in their eyes. He'd be looked upon as being a false prophet, a false teacher, a deceiver. And he would be making a mockery of everything he's been saying in the last few years of his ministry. But if you say, yes, I am the Christ, I am the Son of God, then they would say he was guilty of blasphemy, declaring himself to be equal with God because they didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. They believed he was a liar, a fraud, and they would charge him with blasphemy, punishable by death. So the question was designed to trap Jesus, like many other questions Jesus had faced throughout his ministry by these chief priests and scribes and elders, trying to intimidate him or incriminate him. But Jesus boldly answered the question, I am. He admitted to being the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God. He confessed that he was the one the Old Testament said would come into the world to save all of mankind. What he told the high priest on that night, it's the same thing that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Galatia. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Jesus was directing the high priest and the people around there to his cross to see what he was going to do. He declared he is indeed the one who had come into this world to fulfill God's plan. Jesus standing there now before the high priest was all planned by God. His plan for him to be there at that time, at that moment, before this mockery of a trial, to be judged, to be put to death. Jesus knew his Father's will, and he obeyed it. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. He testified. So what do those words mean for Jesus? Well, first of all, it meant that he would be put to death. Jesus knew the Old Testament scriptures, like the high priest did. He knew that the Messiah would be despised and rejected by men. He knew that the Messiah would be pierced for the transgressions of all sinners. He knew the Messiah, the suffering servant, would be crushed for the iniquity of humanity. He knew the Messiah, the Christ, would be wounded and punished in place of all people, yes, even in the place of the high priest and all those others around there. For the cross was the central message of the Messiah. This assertion of Jesus is remarkable. Consider the situation. Here he's standing there, arrested, bound, arrested in the garden, then brought to first Annas and interrogated there, then before Caiaphas. But Jesus wasn't whimpering. He wasn't whining about his treatment. He also did not apologize for offending the Jewish leaders. Instead, he left no doubt about who he was. He asserted quickly, clearly, and confidently that he indeed was the Christ, the Messiah. He's not just some simple rabbi from the backwaters of Galilee. He is the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he had come to do one thing: to die for the sins of the whole world. He was the Son of God. He was fulfilling his Father's plan that was already in eternity, that was announced just after Adam and Eve fell into sin, when God said that the serpent, Satan, would bruise his son's heel. And now Jesus is saying, I'm the one who come to willingly give my life to crush Satan's head. Why is it so important for us? Well, first of all, as we said, the world will not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Oh, many in the world say he was a great teacher, a wonderful philosopher. He was indeed a great leader as well. But they will not agree that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one of God, the Son of God, come to save all of mankind. But that's exactly who Jesus is. And that's exactly what Jesus testified of. Jesus knew what he had come to do. And that's important to us because we need to know who Jesus is. What he did for us. Because we could not do it for ourselves. We could offer God no gift, no sacrifice that could satisfy God's justice. We could offer nothing to create or bring about peace between God and us sinners. We are unable to save ourselves. God had to do it, and God did it through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. While we were still lost and condemned sinners, Christ died for us. We are redeemed by his holy, precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death by his cross. What love for us God the Father had by sending his Son to be damned for us upon that horrible cross. Messiah, Jesus, stood before the high priest and clearly testified, I am the Christ. I am the Son of God. Our second point is God's Son will come again. As bold and confident as his confession was, Jesus also issued a rather startling statement to the high priest and those around him. After he said, I am, he said, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Jesus asserted his power. He will exercise all power by coming again on judgment day to judge all people. And he said that again after he rose from the dead to his disciples. He said, all authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He proclaimed that he will come in the clouds to rule all things. He first came in humility as a little baby born in Bethlehem, but he'll return in power and in glory and might. But picture him as he's saying this. He's standing there. He no doubt has hands tied behind his back. He's arrested. He's not yet been beaten, but he's on trial. He's ready to be condemned to death. And he's saying, I'm going to come again. And I'm going to come in clouds. I'm going to rule over all things, even over you. That's what the soldiers and the officers laughed at him. That's what they spit in his face, covered his eyes, and then punched him and said, "Prophesy, O you Christ! Who hit you?" That's what they continued to mock him on the cross. When they said, "If you are that Christ that you claim to be, come down from the cross and save yourself." They didn't see any power standing there in front of him. There's no power seen by the naked eye. And therefore, they continued to ridicule him. And Jesus, in his humility, allowed this to take place. He acknowledged Caiaphas' power over him, authority over him, because he was made under the law. But in the future, the tables will be turned. Right now, Caiaphas was Jesus' judge. But there would come a day when Jesus would come and be Caiaphas' judge. Yes, they would see the messianic glory in this very one who is standing there right in front of them. For he is the chosen one, and there is no other. This lowliness of Jesus would someday turn into his glory and his majesty as he came on judgment day to judge all people. But you know, Jesus really went on trial many years before that. He was on trial before his Heavenly Father way back in eternity, when his Heavenly Father judged Jesus to be guilty of all of our sins. And that took place then on Good Friday. Jesus was guilty of every single sin of every single person ever conceived in the history of this world. Not his own sins, for he had none. And that's one reason why we sang with kind of startling thoughts, verse 3 of hymn 143. Whence come these sorrows? Whence this mortal anguish? It is my sins for which thou, Lord, must languish. Yea, all the wrath, the woe, thou dost inherit. This I do merit. Yes, there's indeed sadness and sorrow in our hearts when we see Jesus standing there before the high priest, being made fun of, ridiculed, mocked, beaten, and ultimately crucified, because it's my sins and your sins of lovelessness or of coveting, discontentment, unfaithfulness, anger, greed, lust, laziness, gossip, and a whole lot more that put him there. But with joy, with repentant hearts, we lay all those ugly sins upon Jesus, and we hear the good news. Our sins are all forgiven. And that's why we sang verse 5 with such happy hearts. The sinless Son of God must die in sadness. The sinful child of man may live in gladness. Man forfeited his life and acquitted. God is committed. God is committed. God the Father chose his Son already in eternity. And then God the Father sent his Son into this world of sinners, sinners like you and me, gave his Son into this world to take our place, to live that perfect life of love, to die that damnable death upon the cross, to rise from the dead, to ascend to heaven, and to someday come back again to judge all people. Whoever believes this has everlasting life. We believe that Jesus is who he said he is. It assures us that all sins of all humanity have been paid for in full in Christ, that God has declared all of us righteous in Christ. See the cross and know that we have an eternal home prepared for us. It's all part of God's plan. God's plan the cross to redeem us, and Jesus coming again on Judgment Day to take us to be with him, to live with him in our home in heaven for all those who believe in him. God's plan from the beginning to the end. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.